Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us today, I want to say a special welcome to you. Thanks for joining us today as we're moving into kind of the season in the calendar in religious history that's called Lent. It's the 40 days leading up until Easter. And if you're new with us, one thing to know about us is that we are a church that meets in more than one location. And so right now we're connected with our Torrance campus. Hi to everybody at our Torrance campus. Great that we can be together. It was great to be with you last weekend. I was over there at the Torrance campus. And our Torrance campus is where we're doing our volunteer summit that you've just heard about. And if you're new to the church or new to volunteering, you'd like to volunteer, there's going to be a special option for you at the Volunteer Summit. I'll be with you during one of those events to help you get more familiar with what we do and how we do it. So this is the day to sign up for that event that's coming up. So make sure you do that before the end of the day. Let me get into our message series for today, where it's called Finding Your Rhythm. And the idea behind this is we all live by rhythms. We all have kind of life rhythms that we have, work and eating and friendships and social media and things like that. We have these rhythms. Some of them are rhythms we choose. Some rhythms are chosen for us. And then some rhythms we just kind of stumble into. The question is are these rhythms healthy and good for us? Or do the rhythms of our life, do they take away from who we're intended to be? Or maybe this question specifically, are our life rhythms forming us into the people God created us to be? All of the rhythms we have form us, but what are those rhythms forming us into? And sometimes we have rhythms that become automatic in our lives, and sometimes the autopilot nature of them isn't really good for us. I'll give you an example. A while back, I have a rhythm of driving to church every day for work. I drive the same streets. I drive almost the same times all the time. I get into the same car. I drive basically the same speed all the time. That's kind of my rhythm. And a while back, pulled up to the church, got out, got my bag. I have a backpack that I bring in. I have a key card that I use to scan to get into the building. So I get out the key card, scan it, walk up to my office door, and it's locked. So I pull out my key. I was like, oh, I can't find my keys. And I was like, oh, well, I usually attach them on like a carabiner on my backpack. So I take off my backpack. Oh, they're not there. I'm like, well, the carabiner's new, so you know what? I used to keep them in the zippered portion in my bed. So I unzip it, the keys are not there. And I'm like, did I lock my keys in my car when I got out? So I go back out to the parking lot, and fortunately, I see my keys in my car. Now, unfortunately, not only did I not lock the door, I didn't close the door. And not only are the keys just in my car, they're in the ignition of my car, and my car's running. I'm surprised I parked the car. I mean, I was in I was just in autopilot mode. I mean, I didn't even stop when I got out of it. I looked, I was like, this is crazy. Sometimes in life, we get into these rhythms and we're just in autopilot mode. What is that doing to us? And how could we be more intentional about our lives? Specifically, what we're going to talk about between now and Easter is how could we adopt some spiritual rhythms, some practices like Jesus did, that can help us live our lives more intentionally. So here's the main idea I want to share with you today. We should build intentional spiritual rhythms that are rooted in God's word, the Bible. What are these? That's what we're going to be talking about. I want to share with you two reasons, though, today of why we should build intentional spiritual rhythms that are rooted in God's word. And then we're going to close our service by celebrating communion together, which is kind of a spiritual practice of a symbolic meal where we come together, connect with each other, and connect with God. Why should we build intentional spiritual rhythms that are rooted in God's word? Here's the first reason. Intentional spiritual rhythms can regulate us, body, soul, mind, and relationships. That word regulation is kind of used a lot nowadays. The idea is that God has designed us to move from times of stress and anxiety and overwhelm to be able to calm down and have a sense of peace and have a sense of stillness. The Bible word for that would be peace or shalom. We use that word in one of the songs that we sang earlier. It's possible, in fact, it's kind of a likely potential that some of the things we do in everyday life that are normal and natural can dysregulate us, can get us overwhelmed and stressful and disconnected from who God has called us to be. And Jesus offers us some practices to help regulate us, to calm us and put us more in the zone of who God would have us be. Let me give you several examples of what this could look like. Like, let's say we have the normal rhythm of work, right? You're going to work, you're going to school, you have this way of doing things. We can be potentially dysregulated when work becomes about performing, or when our work becomes about our identity. Some of us have gotten into a rhythm where our work is all about how much we can produce and how much we can achieve, or where our work is who we are. And that's not healthy because our job can change. We can lose our job. We might move jobs. We might move careers. It's not about identity and performance. It should be about something else. So to help us with that, we can adopt a different rhythm, a spiritual rhythm of rest and Sabbath. This is a Bible word that actually means to stop working. So if we have a rhythm where we're encouraging rest and inactivity, it can kind of continue, it can help us break out of dysregulation of viewing our life about achieving and performing and having our identity rooted in those things, right? Here's another example. The normal rhythm of noise and crowds. That's a normal thing. We're surrounded by people. We're social beings. But if we're not careful, we can start being overwhelmed to the point of distraction and depletion, really. All the noise, all the crowds, some of us thrive off of it, but it can get us dysregulated. Well, spiritually, we can adopt some practices of silence and Sabbath, where we intentionally quiet ourselves or we intentionally retreat, not to avoid the world, but to re-engage in a different way. Eating is another one that we have. Eating's a normal, natural rhythm, but if we're not careful, we can become consuming creatures, that we get used to just consuming things, or even worse yet, we can end up getting to a place where we have this idea that if I have a desire, then I should satiate it immediately. And that can turn us into a kind of person that God never intended us to be. So if we have a spiritual rhythm of fasting, not for weight loss, not for appearance, not for even health, but a spiritual rhythm of fasting teaches us that when I have a hunger, I probably need to identify what that hunger is, and I don't have to necessarily immediately satisfy every hunger that my body creates. Here's another one, possessions. We all have things. We all need things. But if we're not careful, we can move into, a scarcity mindset, meaning in order to be peaceful and happy, I need more things, or a control mindset, that the goal of life is to keep as much as you can. Jesus invites us into a spiritual rhythm of generosity. What is it like to give more things away? To be more open-handed with the possessions I have, to where I own them, they don't own me. And then here's one more, self-focus. We have a normal rhythm of self-focus. You get up, you need to eat, you need to go to work, you need to do this thing because you're trying to take care of yourself. But if we're not careful, we can move into a place of discontentment. By being focused on ourselves, we're always measuring ourselves by what we see other people have or don't have. And then now we're discontent. I want to be more of this. I want to be more of that, or less of this, or less of that. Jesus invites us into a rhythm of worship. Worship is when we're more focused on God than ourselves. Worship is where we say, I'm going to allow God and what God has to say to be the focus of my attention so that I can be a version of myself that God has created me to be. And then I can be available for God's work in the world, not just what I want to do or what will bring me self-actualization. Now, let me just say, these normal rhythms we looked at, there's nothing bad about these. So that's the deceptive thing. It's like, well, these are all normal and good. Yes, they're normal and good. There's nothing bad about it. What we're going to talk about, how the goal is not that we have these rhythms and then add a little Jesus into your rhythms. That's not what we're talking about. When you say, I have my rhythms, I have my life rhythms, and now I'm going to add a little Jesus into it, that's called religion. We're not talking about religion. What we're doing is we're saying, here's my normal rhythms. In what way could I invite Jesus into these rhythms in a way that begins even changing the nature of these rhythms? Begins adding new meaning and purpose. In fact, some of these rhythms might need to be changed completely in order to line up with who God intends us to be. I'll give you a quick example of that. There was a conversation that Jesus had with some people back in his day. Jesus is talking about prayer and fasting and generosity and silence and solitude and worship and things like that. And there's a group of people who were very religious people who were like, hey, we'd like to add some of your things into what we're doing. And Jesus goes, actually, it doesn't work like that. And he gives them an illustration. Look what he says. He says, Jesus gave them this illustration. He says, no one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. Now, some of you are into sewing and you're like, totally understand that. I don't understand it. So Jesus gives another example using alcohol so all of us in the South Bay would understand what he's talking about. He says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. So back in that day, they would store wine in pouches made of animal skins. And so as wine fermented, it would stretch the animal skins. And then it would be just the right kind of size and it would hold it well. But if you put new wine in it after the skin has stretched, the fermentation needs more skin to stretch and it would burst it. So he said, you can't just put new wine into old wineskins. What Jesus is saying is you can't just add my new teachings into your old life. It needs to be all new. So what Jesus is inviting us to do, and what we'll be talking about over this series, is what would it look like to not just add Jesus' teachings, but to invite Jesus in to make us new in new ways, maybe even refashioning and changing our existing rhythms in meaningful ways. So here's an action step for us. Invite Jesus into one dysregulated area of your life. And for those of you that are concerned, that is actually the right way to spell it. I know some of you have been thinking about that for a while. So is there an area of your life that is stretched, is overwhelming, is uneven? Maybe you put too much focus onto your work. Maybe your appearance is far more important to you than is healthy. Maybe it's your parenting or your relationship to your parents. Maybe it's how you relate to food or how you relate to possessions. Is there an area of your life that's just not lined up in a way that is healthy and thriving so you can be who God has called you to be? And what would it look like to say, Jesus, come into this area of my life? I'll give an example from me. Few years back, I realized I was not sleeping well. Not only was I not sleeping well, I didn't feel like I was sleeping long enough. I wasn't getting enough sleep. And I remember watching something on TikTok. It was this kind of fake conversation between these two people, and the guy was like, oh, I wish I could get 8 hours sleep. And then the other person was like, have you ever thought about going to bed 8 hours before you wake up? And the other guy's like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that. You know? And I realized I wasn't gonna do that. It's like, what if I actually went to bed 8 hours before I was gonna wake up? It's brilliant, amazing, what an amazing idea, what an amazing principle. Now, for me, it ended up not being just about that, because I was reading in the Psalms, which is kind of that poetry songbook part of the Bible, and I read Psalm 127, and there's a great line in there, and it says, why do you get up early and stay up late working all the time? And then after it says, God grants sleep to those he loves. And the idea was, I had in my mind, oh, I gotta keep working, I gotta get all this stuff done. And there was a lack of trust in God where I could stop working and just go to sleep. And so I labored through that kind of process of like opening my mind up to a different understanding of sleep. And when it said God grants sleep to those he loves, I thought, what if sleep was not just about me getting enough rest? What if sleep was me saying yes to God's love in my life? What if going to bed was receiving a gift from God to me? It started changing my life. And not just because I was healthier. I had more gratitude to God. I was more merciful with people. It wasn't just about me. It was actually positioning me to relate to God and to other people in a completely different way. It was new wine in new wineskins. What is an area of your life where you need something like that? Here's one more reason that we should have intentional spiritual rhythms rooted in God's word. Healthy rhythms are how God forms us, not just informs us. There's a kind of a difficult thing among Christian people, churchgoers, religious people that view the Bible as a primary source of their faith. And the problem is a lot of people view the Bible as primarily educational. We open up the Bible, we say, I'm going to learn something. And then we go, okay, I learned it. That's not, I mean, education is important. A lot of Christian traditions, especially churches like ours that use the Bible as a centerpiece of what we do, come out of educational models, but that can be very deceptive. I wrote this down the other day. The spiritual life is more than learning something new. It's about becoming someone new. So you haven't really learned until you've changed. The spiritual life is not primarily educational. The spiritual life is transformational. It's about how we live. I'll give you a little example from the Bible. There's a really strange story in the New Testament of the Bible that takes place at the beginning of Jesus's life, his life in ministry, his active life of serving people. He's around 30 years old. He goes through a baptism ritual, which was almost like an inauguration into his public life of teaching and doing miracles and caring for people. So he goes through this baptism ritual, and then right afterwards we're told that Jesus was sent by the Holy Spirit of God into a remote place without food for 40 days to be tested by the devil. It was like a rite of passage. It was almost a spiritual initiation. There was going to be this focused time of 40 days of fasting that would somehow be the beginning of his role as the Messiah. And look what it says. It says, during that time, the devil came, this spiritual being, this angelic, maleficent spiritual being, came and said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Here's what this spiritual enemy is doing. This entity recognizes that Jesus has miracle, godlike power, and is encouraging him to use his power to satiate his immediate desires. Of course, Jesus is fasting, so he's intentionally withholding satiating his desires for a larger spiritual purpose, submitting to God. So he's not going to do that. He's not going to use his power to meet his immediate needs. And then it says this, Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, interesting, Jesus in his dealing with a spiritual warfare experience with the devil uses scripture. And it says, this is the quote that he uses, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here's what Jesus is saying, and the operative word here is the word live. Do people live by bread? Do you live by eating food? Yes, that's how you live. You eat food and you're alive. But he says, that's not it. He said, people who are God-oriented, spiritually vibrant, flourishing people, don't just live by consuming things in this world and then being healthy. Spiritual people, godly people, God-oriented people, the kind of people God is intending human beings to be, live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here's what he's saying. You can eat good food, have a nice house, have a good car, have a good job, have good relationships, have a great presence on social media, have a great skincare routine. You can flourish in this world and still not be living. Living is not about eating well and getting 8 hours of sleep, having the job, getting the degrees, and being fit, and having friends. That's being alive. But living is about receiving who God made you to be, and then practicing the behaviors and the skills and the practices that God intends so that you can relate to other people and help them to live. That's transformational living. And that's what spiritual rhythms are designed to produce in us, real living. So here's an action step from this. This week, spend time meditating in God's word, the Bible. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by meditating, okay? So I don't mean getting the bowls out. If that's your thing, I get it. But I'm not talking about like emptying yourself and opening yourself to the powers of the universe. I'm not talking about that. Let me explain what I mean by meditating. So I'll give you an example. If this week, if you were to look at Psalm 1, this is something I just did last week. So the book of Psalms is that poetic, artistic book of the Bible. Psalm 1 is about the spiritual life reflecting on God's words, okay? So here's how you would meditate biblically. First, you start with silence. Quiet yourself. Be present. We'll talk about this next week. It is possible that you show up. You've ever shown up to some place and you're still not there? You know, you come and you're thinking about all this and you're thinking about that. Like, sit down, quiet yourself. And then read Psalm 1 slowly all the way through. Don't get stuck on a word and go, oh, I got to write something down, or oh, that's a good, oh, this reminds me of this verse, or this reminds me of this. Just read it all the way through. This is difficult too, because we're used to kind of, Christians are used to kind of like doing autopsies on a text. You know, we'll read one word. Oh, I'm stuck on that word for an hour. Don't do that. Like, read the whole thing, right? Then ponder what you've read. This is where you can kind of start, oh, here's a word that stands out. Here's something I don't mean, that I don't understand. I don't know what it means. Here's a little something. This reminds me of this. Maybe you take some notes. You're pondering it or meditating. There's actually a word in here. It says that godly people delight in the law of the Lord. They meditate on it day and night. That word meditate in the original Hebrew means to murmur. So it's a word picture. It's kind of like,
that's an interesting word.
That's kind of what you're doing. You're kind of like, let me slide. I've just read it. Now I'm like, oh, I don't even know what that means. I have to check that out. I'll make a note on that kind of thing. Now, if you like another analogy, that same word murmur is used to describe the noise a lion makes when it's hovering over its food, which is like, you know? Some of you are like, you're kind of starting to devour what you've read. Some of you are really into that when you're reading a book or you have novels that you're, you know. So you're writing stuff, you're processing, right? And that's an active engagement with God in your creativity, in your imagination, and hopefully with your understanding of the text. Because the goal is, as you're pondering, you're going, oh, here's what the author is trying to say. Not, here's some weird idea that I got because I read what somebody else said, and now it's my own meaning. You're trying to like, what is this person trying to communicate? And then read it again and pray while you read it all the way through. Now that you've thought it through and you've studied and you've looked up words and you've, now you're saying, I'm going to read it prayerfully, and you're listening for God in that. And then finally, you want to contemplate how to live it out. That's the big step. You don't go like, oh man, I got a lot out of that Psalm 1. I learned a lot. And then you go about your day. No, you're like, what, based on what I've read, does God want me to think or feel or do? What do I take away from this? Now, I've got one more thing to share with you about this whole topic, but let me wrap up kind of what we talked about today. And it's this: we should build intentional spiritual rhythms that are rooted in God's word, the Bible. Why should we do this? Intentional spiritual rhythms regulate us. They get us from places of distraction and overwhelm and stress to a point of peace, so we can receive from God who God wants us to be and how we should relate in the world. And then the other reason is because healthy rhythms are how God forms us, not just informs us. The goal is God wants to continually transform us from who the world and the culture and maybe even some of our family of origins and our personalities would cause us to become that might be different than who God's calling us to be. And as we get into this, we can be formed anew in relationship with God. Now, let me close by saying this, and then we'll go into our communion time. This process of spiritual formation and transformation is not about us. The spiritual life is not about you. The goal of God using these rhythms to shape and mold and form us is so that we can follow through on three primary directives that Jesus gives. Here's the first one, loving God. The goal is that I would pray and I would fast and I would be generous and I would connect with people meaningfully and I'd have silent times of reflection and I would serve and help impact the world so that that's an expression of loving God, so that God gets credit for the work that he's done in our lives. Two, loving our neighbors. It's through prayer and fasting and generosity and silence and relationships that we become more available to the people in the world that God wants us to connect with, people that God wants to have them flourish so we are flourishing and are able to connect with them. And the third one, and the most important one, and which I would argue should, not only is it an important issue right now in our day and age, but I think this should be a primary motivation throughout this series into Easter. One of the primary reasons we should build intentional rhythms into our lives is that it enables us to love our enemies. The distinguishing characteristic of Christians in all countries of the world for over 2,000 years is that Christians loved their enemies. They didn't slam them. They didn't slander them. They didn't villainize them. They didn't have that luxury. Jesus himself, as he was being nailed to the cross, said of the man nailing him to the cross, "Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing." And if this world needs anything right now, it needs people who are followers of Jesus, not just in name, but in deed, and followers of Jesus who will refuse to hate their enemies. Who's your enemy? Is it someone in your family? Is it someone in your neighborhood? Is it someone in public office that you've given in to the rhetoric and the propaganda of this culture where they've said, you should hate these people, you should hate this person? You may be being more formed by the culture than by Jesus. We have a great call, and we need help to do that call, because in our own power, we're not going to do it. We're not going to love God, we're not going to love our neighbors, and we're certainly going to hate our enemies. So we need some food for the journey. So we're going to celebrate communion together as a way to kind of say, God, fill me up. Help me with that. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to move into communion. We'll hand it over to our Torrance campus to do over there. Jesus, thank you. You want to give us these new practices, these new rhythms. God, help us. Our the wineskins of our lives are kind of formed and crusty. We've already expanded our life to fit what we want to do. There's a lot of parts of our lives we kind of don't want to change. We'd just like to add you in. Help us not to give into that this morning, today, this week. Would you give us new wine, and would you help us to be new wineskins, open to doing what you want us to do, open to being formed into who you would have us to be? And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.